Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bout and Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, a great slate of action within the conference this coming weekend, but we take a look back at potentially the game in the year. It took place in Tuscaloosa. Georgia opened as a 1.5-point favorite on the road. It was all Alabama in the first half. They built a 28-0 first half lead. In the second half, Carson Beck and the Bulldogs did take the lead briefly, 34-33. But in the end, Jalen Milroe, a 480-yard total performance, leads the upset over top-ranked Georgia, 41-34. Give me your thoughts about what transpired in Tuscaloosa, Alabama last Saturday night.
Joe, what didn't transpire in that football game? I mean, I've coached and called plays for five times against Alabama, five times against Georgia. I know the pressure of that game. But to see what Alabama did in the first quarter, the first half alone, that pretty much, to my mind, as I'm trying to predict this game, I said, look at that Coach DeBoer. He's established himself as the next great coach at Alabama. What an incredible job he did. Jalen Milroe, easily the best quarterback in America the way he's playing. Second half, all of a sudden, they're behind at the end of the game. I'm thinking, that's the biggest loss. They can't overcome that kind of loss. DeBoer's going to never overlive this. They just got beat by a team. They were beaten 28-0 in the first quarter. One play later, they get back ahead and win the game. It's amazing how much you couldn't predict what was going to happen in that game. But in the end, it came out that Alabama was the best team in that on the night. They were the best team. If they play again, I'm not sure it might be Georgia that's the best team because they're both very, very good.
Well, that's the question, right? If they were to play 9 out of 10 times, would Georgia, in fact, win that type of matchup? But when you watch that game play out, especially in regards to the first half and building that 28-0 first half lead, we always talk about breaking tendencies. In big matchups, teams that break tendencies typically win or dominate a particular matchup. When you saw that first half play out, do you feel like Kalen DeBoer and Alabama actually executed maybe a scheme or schemes that Kirby and that defense weren't prepared for? Or was it a matter of just Georgia coming out flat for the first half?
You know, having prepared many game plans in the SEC, that's the first thing I saw. Alabama had a great offensive game plan. They out-schemed Georgia. I think they felt with their quarterback and their speed on offense, they could get to the edge. You know, they didn't just run outside the tackle box. All four of those scores were right to the sideline and down the sideline, and they outran Georgia and their defense, which was very physical, but it was one that they could not catch Alabama on the edge. That's game plan. That's a great job of preparing and finding a way by the time that Georgia was able to adapt to it and make adjustments at halftime. They're already down too much almost to win the football game. So that's the one first thing I saw. The second game, and I saw pressure by Carson Beck. He showed that he had pressure. He threw interception. He threw a quick hitch into a crowd. He threw a vertical pass right into the underneath the coverage. Even the very last throw of the game that could have won it, that there was an interception on second down, he underthrew the ball. But the first half, I saw pressure. It was unusual. I don't know if he was seeing himself and how he was competing against Jalen Milroe, but I did not see him play, and he fumbled also. I just saw him not playing like the great quarterback that he was, but he did have an outstanding second half. He put great numbers up. If he can complete that pass at the end of the game, he leads Georgia to the greatest comeback in the history of their football team.
Hey, throws the interception with about 30 seconds left. That sealed the deal. And how about the performance by Ryan Williams, the 17-year-old, six receptions, 177 yards, the 75-yard pirouetting touchdown that gave Alabama the lead. They go for two and then win it by 7 points. I agree with you, Coach. I thought it was that Kalen DeBoer and that staff did a fantastic job in regards to the first half. Second half, Kirby and that defense figured it out. And give Georgia a lot of credit. They maintained their composure. They fought right to the end, right? Many teams would have quit in terms of that situation. For Georgia to actually take the lead with about 2 minutes left really shows how they're able to overcome adversity, the mental resolve of the Georgia Bulldogs. Big picture, when you look at Georgia overall, right, we know about the expanded playoff. People understand, hey, they're not dead and buried. They can still potentially make it to the college football playoff. What do you think they need to do? They have a big matchup in the SEC's oldest rivalry this weekend with Auburn. But, you know, from now until the end of the regular season, what does Georgia really need to concentrate on?
Well, again, Georgia needs to take their games one game at a time. I think they need to be more explosive on offense. They're trying to do that. Alabama not just run to the edges. They threw the ball downfield very well. Georgia's got to get out of that fact that we're just going to play great defense and run the ball and win the football game. It's great defense and run and pass the football and mix it up on offense. Too many of these good teams can score points. I think Georgia has to accept the fact. I don't think they have as many big-time playmakers as they had last year, and so I see them having to do more on offense. The biggest thing was they learned. They played that game and came back, and they were able to learn from that. They were able to take that game and say, you know what, we are good enough to beat that team and teams like that. You don't want to get blown out so much that you have doubt, that you create uncertainty. So I think Georgia came back in a way that gives them a chance to make something positive out of that loss, but they've got to be more explosive like Alabama was.
We'll break down Georgia's game with Auburn a little bit later in the show. Another upset happened in the Grove with Ole Miss. You talk about 15.5, 16-point favorite at home against a one-dimensional offense in Kentucky. Somehow, some way, Kentucky strikes the upset. This was a game in the series perspective. The last three games, Coach, have been decided by a total of 7 points. Mark Stoops played Georgia very tough, almost strike the upset. He struck the upset Saturday against Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. For Ole Miss to get back into the college football playoff conversation, they need to start this coming weekend against South Carolina.
Yeah. They've got to have a great win against South Carolina. I think they need to come make it needs to be a statement game because they just made people doubt again. Is Ole Miss for real? Are they a contender or are they a pretender? They put up some large numbers against teams they were a lot better than. They have talent. They did not hit deep balls. You know, if you're a team that scores like they do, if you're going to throw the deep ball, you got to hit them. And you don't want to overthrow them. You know, there's an old saying in golf, short putts never go in and long passes never get caught. As you see a game, you got to make sure you don't overthrow them and miss those deep balls. And I think right now Ole Miss missed some of those, but they've got good enough personnel. I do think they come back, and I think they win this game, but they've got to do it decisively. I think they've got to get that confidence back because they went out there, and like I said earlier, Kentucky almost beat Georgia. Kentucky almost did beat Ole Miss, and I think what you're going to see in this conference, if you don't play well and you're a top 10 team in the SEC, you're going to get knocked out by one of those top 25 teams in the SEC if you're not ready to play.
And I just feel when I watch that game play out, Coach, in regards to Kentucky, Kentucky was the more physical team. Offense and defense lines, they wore down Ole Miss at the point of attack. They were able to run it, stay in manageable third down situations, and they forced Jackson Dart into mistakes and forced them potentially not to score touchdowns and held them to field goals. When you watch and look at Ole Miss overall interior-wise, have they gotten better from last year, or do you feel they're on the same level that they were in 2023?
Well, I think they have gotten better. They've got better personnel. You can't ignore the talent that they brought in, and they've got great talent on defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. Now, let's remember, I mean, Kentucky took Georgia to a 13-12 game. And Kentucky has the ability to cause problems with you. Let's not let one game. If I'm Ole Miss, I said, listen, just don't let one game change who we are and what we're trying to do. I'm going to need to see a couple of games. The great thing about the SEC is every top team in the SEC plays another top 10 team and a couple of top 25 teams. You've got in the conference. So you've got a lot of football to be played. And the key right now is Ole Miss has got to get on the winning side again, have an impressive win this weekend to get back in the hunt.
I agree with that. And, you know, Mark Stoops doing a pretty good job in Lexington. Yeah. He has that team competitive. He's closed the gap. Might be the best thing for Wildcat fans that he didn't take the job in regards to Texas A&M, where Mike Elko has a huge game against the Missouri Tigers. We'll jump into that next. Week number 6 of the SEC coming right back. Coach Bowden, Joe Lisi, keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. Coach and I took a look back at week number 5. We'll turn our attention to week number 6. Great slate of action. Top 25 battle taking place in College Station. You have 9th-ranked Missouri and Texas A&M squaring off. Missouri right now a 2-point dog on the road to face off against Marcel Reed and the Aggies. Missouri coming out of a bye week, Coach. They've struggled in back-to-back games against Boston College and Vanderbilt. How do you see this game playing out? Because I think the fans in College Station and Kyle Field could be a factor in this matchup.
Yeah, I think the way Missouri has won gives Texas A&M confidence that they can beat this football team. You know, but I see Missouri as a team that, although they didn't blow people out, they're a confident football team. I think there's an air about them. They just feel they're going to win. I don't really compare their overall team talent to Georgia and Alabama. They're what I would call Georgia and Alabama light. They win. They find a way to win, but they don't have the horses that those programs do. But I like their confidence. Their quarterback is just one is dynamic. He finds a way to add them. I think they play up to their – they may play down to some of their competition, but I think they play up to it as well. And I think they'll play very well in that environment, which will be the biggest and the toughest environment they've played in this season.
Yeah, Brady Cook playing well within the scheme, not lighting it up. They're an offense that's throwing for around 260-plus passing yards per game. They're running for well over 200 yards on the ground as well. They're explosive when they have to be. And defensively, only giving up 12 points per game. On the flip side, you saw Texas A&M's trail early on in Arlington, 14-7. They were a 4.5, 5-point favored against Arkansas. Somehow, some way, they get the victory 21-17. That was a dynamic win for the Aggies, right? You have a freshman quarterback in Marcel Reed. He stepped up in terms of that type of rivalry game. Texas A&M had won 11 of the previous 12 meetings, and to fall behind and still find a way to play it out and win against a very physical defense in Arkansas, that was a quality win for Mike Elko that potentially he can carry into this matchup with the Tigers.
Yeah, Mike Elko team is going to play physical. They're going to be a physical football team. They hired a coach at Texas A&M that plays the way they want to play. They want to get after you, and they'll do that, especially on defense, and they'll try to run the ball as well. But A&M has got to make sure their quarterback comes through and gets some passing to go with that running attack, because that's mostly a running quarterback. It's a dual-threat quarterback that they've got playing there, but he's got to be able to pass the ball as well. But Texas A&M, again, is going to be physical. They're a physical football team, and it's going to be a tight one.
I agree, and we talked off-air that Marcel Reed might be the best thing that has happened in regards to the Texas A&M offense. They're only averaging 162 passing yards per game, but they can run it with Le'Veon Moss, and Marcel Reed is an athletic quarterback that could put pressure on Missouri's defense in the perimeter. That's the biggest thing. Connor Wegman, more of a prototypical drop-back passer. What does Reed bring in regards to this matchup? Just like Jalen Milroe, right? If you can get him out in space, he can be a factor in regards to getting this victory against the Tigers.
Well, again, they're going to do what they do well to win ball games. Remember, they're taking a program and trying to turn it around. They've got to win more than last year. They got to get to a bowl. If they get to a conference championship, I'm not sure anybody expected that much. They just want them to be an improved football team. I think we're seeing that they are, and they do that by playing great defense, running the football. The more they can add the passing attack into their offense, obviously, the better it'll be. I'm not so sure that's what they're going to be able to do with their second-team quarterback, but that's what they've got to gradually do. So I think they're going as a plan, but if they're going to run the football, play defense, and win a close ball game, that's what they're going to be willing to do.
I agree. I lean to Texas A&M here because of the home field, because of Marcell Reed and the fact that Missouri hasn't looked good up until this point. Even though they have the extra week of preparation, I do feel the Aggies somehow, some way do get the victory and cover the two and a half point number. I think the game trends to the over, Coach. 48.5, even though potentially you might say that might favor Brady Cook and Missouri in that matchup, I think Texas A&M potentially can run the football just the way we saw Boston College do in the 27-21 loss.
Now, you know, the only thing I would go back and say is that confidence that, Missouri has an intangible. And sometimes you are an outstanding football team because of the intangibles. You find a way to win. You find a way to put one more point on the board than the other team. I think this game could be close, but I think Missouri is going to hang on and be and keep their record unblemished in a tight ball game, in a tough ball game, but because of who they think, their confidence in themselves, and their ability to find a way to score one more point than the other team.
Let's turn our attention to the SEC's oldest rivalry. It's Georgia. We talked about their loss on the road in Tuscaloosa to Alabama, laying 24.5 points to Auburn. Auburn had Oklahoma dead and buried in the fourth quarter, and Peyton Thorne throws the pick six. Totally changes the momentum in regards to that matchup, Coach. They lose yet again in back-to-back weeks, 24-21. Hugh Freeze not looking good in year number two on the Plains. What did you see in regards to that loss against Oklahoma last Saturday?
Well, they're still playing musical quarterbacks. You know, they're not just have a quarterback that maybe plays bad for a couple of series back and gets back on track. They're switching quarterbacks around, trying to find somebody to make it happen. And it went against them last week in the fourth quarter in a big game against Georgia. Now, I coached at Auburn, and we could be 9-0 back then or 10-0, and you've saved your career, but you ain't saved your job yet because you hadn't played Georgia and Alabama. That's who you play to finish up with. So this game has a special meaning to these two teams. It's not just another game. Yes, Georgia is better. Auburn's not playing very well. Go back and look how many times Auburn played Alabama or Auburn played Georgia, and the other team was favored by one, two touchdowns or more, and the lesser team finds a way to make it to get an upset. That's part of these rivalries, and that's the only reason I would say, yes, I think Georgia's going to win this game. They need to win it, and really they need to win it decisively, but this is the Auburn-Georgia game, and anything can happen.
I agree. Anything can happen. Last year was a 7-point win. That's where Carson Beck hit Brock Bowers. They were a double-digit favorite and won it 27-20. Georgia has won 7 straight games in the series, Coach, against the Auburn Tigers. Biggest factor for me why I do not back Auburn in regards to this matchup, minus 11 in turnover margin. When you're not winning the turnover battle, it's going to be very difficult to knock off Georgia, especially in Athens. I think the dogs roll. We'll come back and wrap up SEC action week number 6.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz SEC edition, Coach and I left off talking about the SEC's oldest rivalry, Georgia and Auburn, 24.5 point number in favor of the Bulldogs. A lot of young fans might not know, but Coach coached in this rivalry back in 1996 with the first SEC overtime game. The Bulldogs did get the victory. My good friend Corey Allen sent the game into overtime, and Torin Kirstie pulled it out with a touchdown run. Coach, unbelievable rematch right now in regards to this map battle.
You never know who's going to win this game. You remember Robert Edwards for Georgia. Takeo Spikes was my middle linebacker. Great football players, and it's always a great game. You know, they play between the hedges. We play between the sticker bushes, exactly the same type of bushes. But Auburn's the sticker bushes. At Georgia, they would play between the hedges. But it's a great rivalry, and like I said before, Pat Dye, the famous coach from Auburn, he went to Georgia. Vince Dooley, the famous coach from Georgia, went to Auburn. And these fans are into this game. My whole question is, with so many transfers in and out, in this, especially at Auburn, do they understand the importance of this game?
Yeah, when you look at Georgia's loss last week to Alabama, we know the Bulldogs are still in it and obviously fighting for not just an SEC championship, but a college football playoff berth. A team that potentially could benefit from last week's loss might be the Tennessee Volunteers. They have a huge battle taking place in Fayetteville against the Arkansas Razorbacks. Last time these teams played was back in 2020. Arkansas has won three straight in the series. Tennessee laying a 13.5 point number. 60.5 is the total. Coach, how do you see this game playing out? High up-tempo offense led by Nico I and Tennessee, and a more methodical ground-and-pound type of offense with Taylon Green in Arkansas.
Yeah, to me, this game is kind of like the Tennessee-Oklahoma game. You got outstanding defense at Oklahoma. Offense is not quite enough. I just think Tennessee's offense, which is so explosive, just gradually pulls away from Arkansas in this game. And Arkansas just doesn't have enough weapons on offense. Taylon Green has done a great job at quarterback. They run it well. He finds a way to run it well. If he can hit a couple of big plays early, that might keep him in the game to make it interesting. Or if Tennessee is not sharp on their deep ball, that's a big part, because what that does is open up that really good running game. The big thing about Tennessee of today and not yesterday or last year or the year before, they have a great defense. They got probably the number one defensive player, number one draftable player in the country in Pierce at defensive end. They have an outstanding defense. They're not going to let the other team, Arkansas, score a lot of points.
No, they're not. They're giving up less than 100 yards per game, less than 3.5 yards per carry. They shut down Oklahoma's high-powered offense in regards to the rushing attack. Did give up some yards in garbage time, but this is going to be a defensive battle, I believe. I think when you look at the rushing attack, a little bit more blue-collar for Arkansas, right? They're going to try and attack Tennessee right up the middle. I feel like Oklahoma sort of ran sideline to sideline. Jaquindon Jackson, Taylon Green are a dynamic duo. This is an Arkansas offense, coach, averaging 240 rushing yards per game. Yeah. If they have success early, that could keep Nico I and that offense on the sidelines, and this might be a four-quarter game in Fayetteville.
Oh, that's the way it's got to be done. I mean, the best defense that they can have at Arkansas is their offense. If they can make first downs, run the football, control the clock, they don't give Tennessee as many at-bats, because you give Tennessee at-bats, they're going to score points. Tennessee scores in spurts. They'll have it'll be a 7-point game, and all of a sudden they've got 14, 21 more points on the board. It's the way they make a big play. So, again, Arkansas's got to keep the offense on the bench at Tennessee if they're going to have a chance to win this game.
And it would favor the last two games that they have played, right? Texas A&M, 35 points, 21-17, or 21-17, 38 points. And then 2 weeks ago where they got the 24-14 win over Auburn, 38 points. This game gets into the 60s where we see the number. That would favor Josh Heupel's offense, because then they should run and cover this number fairly easy.
Yeah, and the thing that says Arkansas has really played pretty good football this year. It's a shame, because maybe the swan song for Sam Pittman because of the number of losses they have. But if you watch how they've lost and how they've played, their team is so close to being a winning football team that has a chance to contend for a bowl game in the future. But I'm afraid he's lost close games, and I'm afraid this one's going to be too much Tennessee in this game for them to have the chance to get back on the winning side.
From what you've seen before we go, is Tennessee a contender, coach, as good as Alabama and Georgia respectively?
You know, I think they are, because the amount of talent they've got on defense and what they do offensively, because they have the ability to score a lot of points against anybody in the schedule. They may not, but they have the ability to put up big numbers against the better football team. So, yes, I think they're in contention and can be, but they've got to play some more big games before I'm convinced.
We'll see you next week.